Welcome into the latest edition of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton, a.k.a. SEC Mike. This episode of the podcast is just dedicated to my SEC offseason post-spring power rankings. If you haven't seen that, that's pinned to my profile on Twitter. I'm at Michael W. Bratton, or just SEC Mike on Twitter. You know, I ranked all 14 teams coming off spring football. And the last edition I did was immediately after the regular, after the postseason in college football. So this is just an update on my thoughts on why I have some movement there and just breaking down all 14 teams. So, you know, this is not necessarily, you know, who's going to win the SEC next year, which of these teams is most likely to go to the playoff. It's got nothing to do with anything like that. It's more about, you know, if these teams met on a neutral field right now, who am I taking to win? So I'm going to run down my list here, kind of give my thoughts and explanation on each one. I hope you enjoy it. Now that's an intro. Thanks, Uncle Vern. All right, let's get started. Starting with Arkansas all the way at 14. Now, I don't think this should be read into, you know, anything of me saying that I don't believe in Chad Morris or anything like that, but I just think that the hill that the Razorbacks have to climb this year is tremendous. They do have a favorable schedule for the most part. Week two, the non-conference game is Colorado State. That's their toughest non-conference game on paper, and that's a winnable game, but even that one is not one that I think they're guaranteed to win. They got a little bit fortunate there because Michigan canceled the series with them a couple years ago. SEC gave them a waiver. They are not playing a Power 5 non-conference opponent. So talent-wise, coaching-wise, you would assume Arkansas's got they should have an advantage in every non-conference game. But when you're going into a new era, obviously Brett Bielema is no longer there. I was a big believer in Brett Bielema, but what he's left Chad Morris to work with is troubling from a talent basis. I mean, this is a team that they were very fortunate last year to beat Coastal Carolina. They beat them by 1 point at home. Obviously, this is a new year, but I just think the transition, what Bielema left, it doesn't match with what Chad Morris wants to run, specifically on offense. John Chavis is going to have, you know, a lot of work to do with that defense. I just don't think that this Arkansas team is, I think they're going to be years away from potentially contending in the SEC West. I think there's a real chance that they go 0-8 in the SEC. I think there's a real chance that they lose that Colorado State game. That's not going to be an easy game. For those reasons, I've got Arkansas as the 14th best team in the SEC right now. Number 13, I've got Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's coming off a 5-7 record. The only win they had in the SEC was against Tennessee, and that was just a pathetic Tennessee team by the end of the year. And Vanderbilt's another one. They actually have a very tough non-conference schedule. Middle Tennessee, Nevada, they're always feisty. And at Notre Dame, week three, there's a real chance that this Vanderbilt team is 1-2. They'll probably be 2-1 after that, but that's before they get into the SEC slate. I mean, just not a lot of confidence in what Vanderbilt's doing on offense. You know, when they're not playing Tennessee, they look pretty rough on offense. Kyle Shermer, I think, is a little overrated. Once again, Vanderbilt, they lost some NFL talent on defense. And this is actually, Derek Mason has actually stepped down from the defensive coordinator role, which, you know, most coaches, it doesn't work out too well when they're a coordinator and the head coach, but I think that was basically the best thing Vanderbilt had going for him the last couple of years. I don't really have much faith in Vanderbilt this year. They may only win a game or two in the SEC. Number 12, I've got Ole Miss. They were surprisingly good last year, I thought. You know, the big game, Mississippi State, they won that. Of course, you know, that game is a little tainted. Nick Fitzgerald knocked out for the game. Ole Miss got up to a huge lead, and they nearly blew that game. So I'm a big Jordan Ta'amu fan. He was impressive in his, you know, debut season last year. He played about half the year, and the game was clearly not too big for him. I like the addition of Matt Corral. I think they've got the best receiving core in the SEC, and that's even with the loss of Van Jefferson there. But I just don't really like what they're doing on defense there. And they have a really tough opening game, too. They play Texas Tech in Houston. I'm just not a big believer in their defense, especially under Wesley McGriff. He's not really shown a whole lot to give me confidence in him. And, you know, I'm a big believer in the coaching is always a little overrated. I think it's mostly about the talent they have. And Ole Miss does have some young defensive players that are talented. They've been growing in the system. I think they're really going to need to make a jump in year two if they're going to finish any higher than this 12th in the SEC. And, you know, as we saw last year, the motto they had going in was every game was going to be a bowl game. They're basically going to have that same motto again, I assume, because they're while they are appealing, they're currently, you know, banned from postseason play. So we saw last year they lost that first game to Cal, and the season, I mean, it was basically done at that point. They got destroyed by Alabama and Auburn the following weeks. So how's that going to work out this year, especially if they lose this first game to Texas Tech? Now, I think Texas Tech is only, I want to say, a field goal favorite at this point. So that's really a coin toss game there, but they do host Alabama week three of the season. That's obviously a tough game. LSU at LSU week five. So, you know, if they could somehow split those two, potentially you're looking at a good year, but I don't see that from the Rebels this year. Number 11, I caught a lot of heat from all the Tennessee fans here. I got Tennessee. I had them at 9 in January. I bumped them down to number 11. And a big reason for that is I think it's very clear based on what Jeremy Pruitt is doing, adding in all these grad transfers. I mean, they're currently still looking for grad transfers, and they're getting turned down left and right, because I don't think they have much confidence in the players they have at several key positions: quarterback, offensive line, defensive line, cornerback. I mean, those are the four most important positions on the field, and Tennessee is looking at huge question marks at every single one of them. I don't know how anyone has confidence in this team for 2018. Now, that's not to condemn what Jeremy Pruitt's building 2019, 2020. I expect this to be a pretty solid football team, but just next year is really rough. Obviously, opening against West Virginia and Charlotte, that's a game a lot of people are saying West Virginia will be a top 15 team. I get Bruce Feldman saying that they're going to go to the college football playoff out of the Big 12, so that is not going to be a layup game. I don't understand how the spread at this point is only 7. I've put significant money on West Virginia on that one. I think the passing attack is just going to light up Tennessee in that one. So, you know, you're already getting off to a bad start off there potentially. Week 4, Florida. Week 5, at Georgia. You get a bye, then you go at Auburn, Alabama, at South Carolina. I mean, no one deserves that in their first year on the job. And, you know, as I just said, we have basically no knowledge of what they're going to do at quarterback, cornerback, offensive line, defensive line, and you're throwing that on top of it. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I think that's a big reason a lot of these grad transfers are turning down Tennessee, because they understand that while Jeremy Pruitt may be an elite defensive mind, I think he's put together an elite staff, but you know, you can't just click your fingers and flip the roster overnight. This is going to be a long rebuild in Tennessee, and I don't think these graduate transfers in their final year, you know, they don't want to be a part of a 6-6, 7-5 at best team. They want to contend for conference titles. They want more than a 500 record, and that's got to be a big reason why they've been losing out on a lot of these grad transfers, in my mind, and specifically at cornerback. I think that's going to be a huge issue moving forward based on the quarterback play from some teams like Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, South Carolina, Missouri, potentially even Vanderbilt. So I think it's going to be a long year for Tennessee. At number 10, I've got Missouri, and I moved them up just a little. Obviously, you know, I've mocked the Derek Dooley hire for basically all offseason for good cause. I mean, he's terrible. Any Tennessee fan will tell you that. I'm not sure what they're thinking there with, you know, working for the Dallas Cowboys for a couple years as a receivers coach. I've no idea what qualifies him to be a quarterback coach, but you know, and I also think that the late run that Missouri went on, I can't for the life of me understand why so many people have bought into that. They did go on a 6-game winning streak, but that was against Idaho, UConn, Florida, which had already fired its coach, Tennessee, fired their coach immediately after, so they already knew he was on his way out. They beat Vanderbilt, and they beat Arkansas, which fired their coach immediately after, so I'm not impressed by that at all. I think this is still a very, you know, poor team SEC-wise, but they do have Drew Luck. I think he's a little overrated. You know, there's a lot of talk that he could be the number one pick in the 2019 NFL draft. I wouldn't put him anywhere near that, but I mean, he does have a huge arm. Obviously, he can stretch the field on like potentially any college quarterback this upcoming year. But you know, having a big arm is there's a difference between being a good, accurate quarterback and having a big arm. And Drew Luck at this point, heading into his senior year, he's just, that's what he is. He's an arm strength more than anything. So, and obviously that defense, I don't know what Barry Odom is doing there, because they have yet to field a competent defense, in my opinion. And I think if it goes sideways here, this Derek Dooley hire blows up in his face, Drew Lock stock, you know, takes a dive potentially, if that happens, I think Missouri's got to make a change there and get rid of Barry Odom and get a real coach in there. At number nine, I've got Florida. I moved them down. I was a little, you know, a little less impressed with them in the spring than I thought I would be. Obviously, Dan Mullen. I think that's a great hire there. Potentially, there's been people like Cole Kubelik like saying he's going to win. Dan Mullen will win a national title in Gainesville. I wouldn't go that far. I think that's a little much. You know, we haven't seen Dan Mullen really win on a big stage. Obviously, he did tremendous for Mississippi State. I think he's the best coach in MSU history for sure. But, you know, the Florida fan base, they're not going to accept 8, 9, potentially even 10 win seasons if Georgia's there winning the SEC East every year. Dan Mullen's got to turn that thing around in a hurry, and he's got to be able to compete with Kirby Smart. And by what they have at the quarterback position with Kyle Trask potentially being the starter, that's got to be a huge concern, in my opinion. I think the defense will be solid. You know, we saw that from Todd Grantham, what he was able to do immediately at Mississippi State. I actually think Mississippi State has significantly more talent than Florida, particularly on the defensive front seven. So, you know, I think this is a team that's going to struggle this first year for Florida standards, I should say. I don't think there's any there's no way they don't go to a bowl, I don't think, in this year. But I think about 7-8 wins is the max for Florida this year. One team I was really impressed with this spring was Kentucky. I moved them up two spots in my from January to post-spring, and a lot of that has to do with Gunnar Hoke. I've heard a lot of great things from him. I'm a huge Benny Snell fan. He may be the best running back in the nation, in my opinion. You know, and of course, they just lost Denzel Ware the other day, the pass rusher. He was suspended for the team's Music City Bowl. So, you know, there's something going on there with him. But, you know, it's never good to lose a talented player like that. He had, I believe, 6.5 sacks last year. But sometimes getting rid of a talented player, you know, actually helps your team more than it hurts. So a lot of, you know, I'm kind of buying into Kentucky. I don't think they're going to challenge Georgia or South Carolina by any means, but you're talking about a team that's coming off consecutive 7-win games. They didn't have a single player taken in the NFL draft, which some people kind of, you know, point and mock and laugh, but that's because they got a lot of guys coming back, particularly on defense. And they had a number of defensive players, defensive standouts that turned down the opportunity to go to the NFL early. They likely wouldn't have been top picks in the NFL level, but, you know, they came back with the thought in mind to challenge for the SEC East. And I'm sure people are going to snicker at that, but, you know, they do have a very good defense. And if Gunnar Hoke makes a lot of strides, they'll obviously lean on Benny Snell. They've got a couple talented receivers. They just picked up an interesting transfer from Iowa, the basketball player who was apparently a 4-star receiver coming out of high school. So they may have a ideal red zone target there. I think Kentucky can make some noise. Obviously, I believe they've lost to Florida like 30 years in a row. That's the week 2 game in Gainesville. If they could win that, you know, beat Dan Mullen in his first conference game, I think that would be huge for Mark Stoops. That's a game I think I got circled on my calendar for. Obviously, Georgia at South Carolina is that week as well, so that'll be the big game in the SEC. But I think the most intriguing game will be Kentucky at Florida. I like Kentucky to win that one and really set up for a nice year for the Wildcats. My number 7 team in my SEC power rankings is LSU. Yeah, they're a very tricky team for me. I was very low on them following the fall, and it seems like everyone's kind of jumped on that bandwagon, so I'm almost kind of trending back the other way, thinking they're a little underrated. But, you know, they just have so many issues. I just don't know what they're going to be at quarterback. You know, they really missed out on some big defensive back targets. They brought in a grad transfer, Terrence Alexander from Stanford, and he's a speedy guy, but that's basically all he ever was because he never amounted to anything. And if LSU is taking guys like that, it kind of tells you what, you know, their issues in the secondary there. Running back, you know, it looks like they're going to play, you know, this is going to be the first year in a long time LSU does not have a dominant running back. They have more of a small scat back type. They're talking about running the RPOs. You know, that's troubling because obviously Miles Brennan looks like the clear favorite there, but he can't run that stuff. So Lowell Narcisse, Justin McMillan, what are they going to do, run two quarterback systems, one RPO, one traditional pocket passer? It's very questionable what they're doing. That was an ugly fallout there they had with Matt Canada, and you know, three offensive coordinators in 3 years. I think that could really hurt this team. And then, of course, the schedule. I mean, they're open against Miami, potentially a top 10 team in Arlington. They got a trip to Auburn week 3. That was the big game where they came back and beat Auburn. So you know Auburn's going to want to smoke them pretty good. At Florida, that's going to be a key game October 6th before facing Georgia and Mississippi State and Alabama, all at home, but all in consecutive games. So I think the improvements LSU has made on the offense and defensive line will really, really help them this year. But I don't think this is anywhere near a SEC contender. I think this is a 7 to potentially an 8 win team at best. My number 6 team in my power rankings, South Carolina, and I moved them down a little bit. You know, I'm a big Jake Bentley fan more than most, but I think that was a terrible offensive coordinator hire they made there. They elevated the receivers coach Brian McClendon, and you know, I think they did that in part obviously because they got the big win over Michigan in the bowl game. That was very unexpected, but you know, for about 3.5 quarters, the defense was terrible. Excuse me, the offense there for South Carolina was just, it was abysmal. And, you know, they scored a couple late touchdowns by help of turnovers by Michigan's offense. And I think, you know, there's always a syndrome kind of in college football to where I think people overreact to the bowl games. Not only, you know, did a team win or loss, which history shows has no reflection on the upcoming year, but really handing coaches jobs because of bowl game performances. The big one that sticks out to my mind is after Rich Rodriguez left West Virginia, Bill Stewart had that big win in the bowl game, I believe, over Oklahoma, and they gave him a job, and I don't even know if he lasted 2 years. So anytime you see a reaction due to a bowl game, I think that's just not a great sign. Another big thing that I have against South Carolina this year, they won a lot of very close games. They beat Louisiana Tech by 1. They beat NC State. It was a 7-point game. They won that one. Tennessee was a 6-point game. Won that one. Florida, 8-point game. That Michigan game I referenced, that was a 7-point game. Vanderbilt was a 7-point game. Anytime you win that many close one-score games, history shows, you know, you tend to it kind of flips the other way. So I think they were 5-1 in one score games last year. If that were to flip to 1-5, you know, you're looking at a really bad year. That's not to say that's exactly how it's going to play, but instead of being +4 in one plus games, you know, if they're +1 or -1, you know, it could be a rough year for South Carolina. And I've heard from people that were down there at practice this spring, they were not impressed by this team. So, you know, I'm still, obviously, Will Muschamp knows what he's doing. I've got a lot of faith in him. But I don't know about his defense coordinator, Travis Robinson. I just don't know about him. I'm not fully bought in. So that's why they're number my 6. But still, that's the second best in the SEC at this point in my mind. So not terribly bad. Number 5, I've got Texas A&M. I was also one that kind of cautioned the hype with them hiring Jimbo Fisher. He clearly, you know, lost his edge there at Florida State and ceded power of the, not only the division, but the entire conference to Clemson. So he might be kind of running from that in my mind. Now he's got the beast of Alabama looking at him. But I think Texas A&M, you know, for a team that just went 7-6 and the coach got fired, they have a ton of talent. Obviously, quarterback's going to be a huge question mark, but Jimbo Fisher has proven time and again he knows how to coach that position. I think if he can get, you know, I think it's going to be Nick Starkel is going to be the clear guy in my mind. If he can get him to play better football than he's shown, which I think he can, this is going to be a very dangerous team. I don't think they're going to threaten for the SEC West at any point this year, particularly when you consider week two, they play Clemson. Week four, they go to Alabama. I think they're clearly going to lose both those games. One way I put it the other day, Texas A&M could be, which they're not going to be, but they could be a top 10 team to open the season, and you're playing number one and number two, you're going to lose both those games. So it doesn't matter how good they are starting out. They're going to be in a big hole to start the season, but I really like them towards the end of the year. It'll be interesting to see the progression that team makes, and I think the big game on that calendar is going to be the final one. And at home, College Station, November 24th against LSU. That's a game I think Jimbo Fisher has to win to just kind of show that he can take this program to new heights. Number four, I've got Auburn. And, you know, I've caught in a lot of heat from everyone except for Mississippi State fans for that, for putting Auburn behind Mississippi State. But there's a lot of issues with this Auburn team. They may even drop even further. I'm considering dropping them below Texas A&M in large part because, you know, they've got so many losses on the offensive line. Yes, they're probably going to have the best defensive line in the SEC, but, you know, defensive line alone is not going to cut it. They lost both starting safeties. They lost the best kicker in school history, all their running backs. They still have yet to have a receiver emerge. Jarrett Stidham is excellent quarterback when he's on. He's been kind of off at times. There were several games last year where he did not play as well as he should have. And, you know, this is one narrative that's kind of not discussed enough with him. While he is elite, twice he's only been a starting quarterback essentially for one season. And two seasons he's played, two seasons he's got significant injuries, one that cost him the season there at Baylor. So, you know, he's a little injury prone from my taste. And Auburn's got an incredibly tough schedule. Open against Washington. Bruce Feldman also has that team as a playoff team. So that's in Atlanta, but that's going to be a really, really tough game, obviously. I think Auburn should be the favorite and will probably win that one, but then you're looking, there's just so many tough games at Mississippi State, at Georgia, at Alabama. I could very easily see them losing all those and potentially another game or two that people are not expecting. And so, of course, I kind of teased it already, but Mississippi State, I've got them at number three. I just have a ton of faith in this team. A lot of people are ready to dismiss them just because they have a new coach, Dan Mullen, left, but you know, the vast majority of new coaches, first-year coaches at a school are replacing dysfunction and someone that got fired. This is clearly the opposite. I think Dan Mullen left for a better situation, but a significantly less talented team. Mississippi State, they're loaded almost everywhere. Obviously, the big issue for them is receiver, and they lost their left tackle. Those are going to be big blows, but just everything I know about Joe Moorhead, which, to be honest, I didn't know a ton about him until he took the Mississippi State job, but I just rave reviews from literally everybody. His offensive system seems to really fit what they're going to want to do in Starkville, where it is, you know, it's not quite the same as what Dan Mullen is doing, but it's not that dissimilar. I think it features a better passing game, and they loaded up with receivers this offseason. Now, it'll be interesting to see how quickly those players can, get into his system. It did take a few weeks there at Penn State before the offense got rolling, but once it did, it clicked and it just never stopped. I think Nick Fitzgerald, if healthy, with all indications are he will be, he's significantly more talented than Trace McSorley. Obviously, they don't have a Saquon Barkley in Starkville right now, but they do have Kylan Hill, who I think the world of. I think he's a really good player. Aries Williams, he's another good running back. I mean, they're just loaded on that side of the ball with a lot of playmakers. And the most important thing for Mississippi State is their front seven. It's absolutely loaded. They've got their returning the SEC sack leader, Jeffrey Simmons, maybe the most talented defensive player in the entire SEC, Jamal Pierce, Leo Lewis, Willie Gay, who someone, I believe as Barton Simmons recently said, will be the next Roquan Smith potentially. This is a guy that didn't even start last year, and he's already being compared to a top 10 NFL pick. I mean, I think it's just unheard of the talent and the depth that Mississippi State has right now. Big reason for them to be number three. I like their schedule too. And, you know, they have to go to Kansas State week two. I can actually see them dropping that game. But as I said, you know, Joe Moorhead's offense could take a little while to adjust. But once they get into SEC play, if they can, you know, beat Kentucky at that week four at Kentucky, huge game next week, the following week in Starkville, Florida, Dan Mullen's reunion. The concern there is they're maybe a little too hype for Dan Mullen's return. But I think if they win that one, I think it'll really start to roll for Mississippi State. Obviously, I think they're Alabama, Georgia's in a different class, but the next step, I think, is Mississippi State, and I think that's an excellent starting point for Joe Moorhead, if that's how it plays out. And number two, I caught some heat for this as well, but I've got Alabama number two, and, you know, a big reason for that is the Jalen Hurts to a situation. I just, you know, that rubs me the wrong way, because I still think, despite what people are going to want to see, I think Jalen Hurts is going to win that starting job. And I think that could potentially divide the locker room a little bit. I think Tua will take it from him at some point in the season. But Nick Saban is very eager to trust a guy that is not going to turn the ball over. And Jalen Hurts, I think, accounted for 3 turnovers last season. And that was playing in like 14 games. So I could definitely see Jalen Hurts winning that job. I think this quarterback drama is not going to go away. And, you know, the staff turnover a lot. Nick Saban's getting a ton of credit for bringing in all these young guys that are helping in recruiting, but I think that's going to hurt them on the field this year. The defensive coordinator has never called plays. The offensive coordinator, I think the best thing he's ever done was take Maryland to a middle-of-the-road offense. Now, you know, as I've said before, I'm a huge believer in players over coaches. I think coaches are a little overrated. So, you know, I can't totally downgrade Alabama that much, because they do have the most talented team. They got the most talented players, obviously. But when these critical situations, and fortunately for the Crimson Tide, there's not going to be that many. They have an incredibly easy schedule, but you know, I think there could be a moment or two where they slip up. They'll probably go undefeated, but I think once they get in the playoff, I think they'll be exposed a little bit. And my number one team coming out of the spring is Georgia. And, you know, I think a lot of people really, their eyes opened up when they saw Justin Fields in the spring game. But I think that was exactly what Kirby Smart wanted. A lot of people, you know, just watch the spring game. They don't follow it very closely. But from all indications, I've been told Jake Fromm is just basically light years ahead of Justin Fields. The fact that Justin Fields had a much better spring game, I think that helps Jake Fromm, because it's just going to push him harder. People are buying into Justin Fields. It's just more motivation for Jake Fromm. I actually think Georgia will go undefeated as well. It's not to say I don't think they're going to win the national championship by any means, but I do think that they will head into the SEC title game undefeated. I think their schedule is pretty easy, and while they lost a lot of, especially on defense, I really like what they're coming back with on offense. I thought they had the most underrated receiving core in the SEC last year. Jake Fromm, while, you know, they didn't really ask him to win too many games, when the game was on the line, he seemed to play his best more often than not. The lone exception was the regular season game there against Auburn. I mean, that guy's got ice water in his veins. He's an elite player. I think he's the SEC's best option to win a Heisman Trophy next year. So I got a ton of faith in Jake Fromm. Their offensive line, I think, was a strength last year. They did lose Isaiah Wynn, but they're bringing back so many talented players, and they just added 5 of the best linemen in the nation. They have the best offensive line coach in the nation. So I think the offense is really going to lead the way this year in Georgia. I think that's going to open some eyes because the defense will still be good. It's Kirby Smart, Mel Tucker defense, but it's not going to be as good. And I think that's the people that ding Georgia this offseason are kind of looking at that defense and seeing that it's a bit suspect. And it may be to the Georgia-Alabama standard, if you want to call that suspect. But I think the offense will be so good that it's not going to, you know, the losses on defense are not going to pile up. So I think that's the advantage there. There's no quarterback drama in my mind in Athens right now. It's just one guy that got outworked and, or I wouldn't say outworked, but outperformed in the spring game. Spring game means nothing when you're talking about these competitions. It's the entire spring camp and the upcoming fall camp. It's going to be Jake Fromm's team all the way. I do think Justin Fields sees the field, but I don't think there's any way that he takes the field for the opening snap against Austin Peay. So if Georgia and Alabama were to meet on the field right now, I like Georgia to win that game. And so one final time, here's my SEC offseason power rankings in full. Georgia, number one. Alabama, number two. Mississippi State, number three. Auburn, number four. Texas A&M, number five. South Carolina, number six. LSU, number seven. Kentucky, number eight. Number nine. Florida, 10. Missouri. Tennessee at 11. Ole Miss at 12. Vanderbilt at 13. And Arkansas at 14.